Let me share a little with you from these very precious words that we discover in verses 27 and 8. There are six tremendous truths that we need to rediscover and look at for the moments that we have together in the Word here. My sheep, says the Word here, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Here are some truths centered right in the Scripture. Now, some people believe that today I may be saved and tomorrow I may be lost. And I would urge you, if you think that way, to rediscover the teaching of these verses. For it says here, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. And then Jesus adds, and if you don't really believe that, understand that my Father and I, we are one, and my Father holds you in His hand, and no one can take you out of the Father's hand, for nobody is able, for He is God Almighty. He is God All-Powerful. He is God. And I and my Father, verse 30, we, says Jesus, are one. So let's discover some of these truths. Here are six of them. First of all, look at the privacy that we discover in this beautiful verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. Jesus is speaking about His own sheep, saying that He Himself is the shepherd, and He looks after the sheep. He's told the story, how that if one was lost, He would leave the 99 in the shelter of the fold, and He would go into the highways and into the byways, and He would search for the one that was lost, that He might bring that lost one in. And when He found that lost one, He laid him gently on His shoulder and brought him in. My sheep that hear my voice. Notice the privacy. I want to share with you that God doesn't just make one great, grand gesture towards all mankind. He calls you by name. My sheep hear my voice because you are called by name. Why? Says the writer of the prophet Isaiah. He says, all the stars in the heavens have a name, and everyone is numbered. It sounds as if they've all got their own personal social security card. He knows every star in the galaxies, and everyone is numbered, and He holds them all in His hand. He goes on, and with the psalmist, he says, you must understand there was a time when God, as it were, took a vast basket, and He went through the heavens and scattered the stars from the basket. God knew where they went, and He called them all by name. You can have a little humor there. You can see the angels sitting in the evening watching the stars. There goes old Speedy. There goes Flashy. Look at him. He really took a dive there. And so you can imagine how the heavens are. God knows the stars. Why we can hardly penetrate into space with all our massive telescopes and our radio bits and pieces. We can hardly understand the depth of space. But God has it all in the hollow of His hand. If you can see that, it surely isn't very far from understanding the Lord Jesus in this 10th chapter when He says to Him, that is the shepherd, the porter openeth and the sheep hear His voice. And He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. You can read it for yourself in the second and third and fourth verses. Beautiful words. Jesus says, my sheep, they hear. When He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before them. The sheep follow Him. The reason? They know His voice. They listen to His words and they understand the privacy of the conversation. It is our Father that deals with us as individuals. Sure, Jesus said that He came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But it is also equally accurate to understand that He says, to as many as shall come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I'll never turn them out into the outside again. Never. But we must hear His voice. There's an old song that says, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, thou weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. And then the answer is, and I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad, and I found in him a resting place, and he made me so glad. It's possible that your life, it's possible that today you're all at sixes and sevens in your family. All kinds of things are going on to cause you much distress. My dear friend, Jesus says, hear my voice. Listen to me. I will never steer you in a wrong direction, says Jesus. And if you'll accept me, if you'll receive me as your personal Savior, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never let you down. I will never, never turn from you. The privacy of this is revealed in his dealings with people. He said to a little child, you're blessed. He said to a little girl, rise from the dead. He said to a young man, get out of your coffin. He said to another young man, a little older but young still, he said, come out of the grave. And they all three came back from the dead. He said to the blind man, see. And he saw. To the deaf man, hear. And he heard. To the dumb man, speak. And he spoke. And to the man that was lame or crippled, he said, arise and walk. And he did. And to that man that was possessed of epilepsy and threw fits, he said to those fits that they must depart from the man. And they did. And the man was made whole that very moment. To a woman that was bent over double, that hadn't looked into the face of a person speaking to her for years, he said, woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Straighten up. And she did. You see, Jesus deals with us as individuals with our individual problems. You have a husband that you don't love anymore. You have children that are rebellious. A wife that's a bad cook. The Bible shows you how you can enjoy those people. Or you say, I'm going to get a divorce. Hey, listen, why? We hate each other. What does the Bible say? Love your enemies. The reason you go out and get divorces is because you see a little piece of scripture. You read that Jesus said that Moses gave the bill of divorcement because of adultery. And you say, oh, that's it. That's it. I can get divorced. Whoopee. Now I can commit adultery. Hey. Jesus will deal with you individually. He will deal with you in the problem that you're currently in at this very moment. And he will love you. And he will keep you, and he will not leave you, and he will not forsake you, and he will hold you close. Here is the privacy, the whole thing. Jesus so loves me, and Jesus so keeps me. He deals with us in our individual needs. Look at the disciples. They were scared beyond all measure. The wind was howling. There was a great wind blowing. The sea was enormous. They were frightened, and Jesus turned to the wind, and he said, be quiet. He said to the water, still, be still, become calm. And they did. Jesus deals with the problems of our lives where they are as they are at this moment. We must understand he always deals with us individually. He speaks to the soul who will be made whole. The second thing is this. Look at the scripture here, for we discover tremendous intimacy. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them. Listen to the scripture. He says, the scripture says, that God knows our thoughts when they are afar off, before they've even formed in our minds. God says that he understands our down-sitting and our uprising. Now, I understood that at church. I used to play games on people, put thumbtacks on chairs, and I understood the down-sitting and the uprising. But that isn't quite what God has in mind. He knows, says the psalmist, when you are in a dark place and in a light place, when things are going well and things are going bad. He understands everywhere you are, and he knows where you are. Listen to the psalmist again. The psalmist says this. He says, If I go into the depths of the sea, thou art there. If I hide in a cave, thou art there. If I go in the mountains, thou art there. If I'm in the depths of the valleys, thou art there. Why, wherever I go, thou art there. God is longing to be intimate with our hearts. He wants to enter into our souls. Jesus said, I am bread. I am broken so that you may come to God, so that God can be reconciled to you. Do you know that the reconciliation of God is done? Do you know that God is reconciled to you? You may not be reconciled to God, but God is reconciled to you because he sees what Jesus has done. His body was broken at Calvary. His blood was shed at Calvary. And in the shedding of the blood and the tearing of the flesh, God saw the suffering of his soul and was satisfied that that was all the suffering for all sin for all time to come. The intimacy that God requires is this: God is reconciled to man. Man now has to be reconciled to God. And he says, come to me. Jesus is the mediator, the one that brings us to God. He says, you come to me and be reconciled to God the Father. You come. You in the pew, you come. You come from all your problems and be reconciled to God. God has opened up a new and better way, a living way, says the scripture. And that new, better and living way is this, that God is reconciled to us. He has reconciled his holiness with our sinfulness. He has reconciled his greatness with our tininess. He has reconciled his great glory with our lack of anything. And he has said, you come. I am reconciled at this point. I love you. I sent my son to redeem you, to reconcile you to me. I am reconciled to man. Do you see? Salvation is a great thing. God hath reconciled himself to look upon sinful man and to elevate him into the position of becoming a joint heir with Christ to the inheritances that are incorruptible and undefiled and that can never fade away. Here is the intimacy that God calls us to. Let us eat and drink with Jesus. Let us sit around the table together. Let us sit around the table and eat and drink. Sure, a little mystically and somewhat spiritually, but let us do this thing. Let's examine ourselves and discover there is in me no good thing. Woe is me, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I have no right to sit around the communion table. I have no right to sit at the same table as Jesus Christ. When you discover you have no right, my dear friend, then you have every right. Because it is in the name of Jesus you dare to come. It is under the blood of Christ that you have the privilege of realizing God is reconciled to man. Man has but to look up and say, oh God, be merciful. I am a sinner. I receive your Son Christ as my Savior, as the mediator between us. I come to thee. And that very moment, says the scripture, you can come to God and be reconciled to God. God being reconciled to man, now man can be reconciled to God. Notice the next thing. Here is harmony. Look at the scripture, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Oh, it's so beautiful. Go to Luke 9, please, verse 23. I know this has been said before, let me reiterate it to you. We preachers cause you to come out and say, we'll follow Jesus, but wait. If a man will follow Jesus, this is Luke 9, 23. If a man will follow Jesus first, let him deny himself. Second, let him do it daily. Thirdly, let him take up his cross. Then let him follow Jesus. It's easy to say, I want to be a person that follows Jesus Christ. I want to live a good life, a nice life, a great life. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a nice person accepted by people. But listen, in order to follow Jesus Christ, first I must deny what I myself longs for more than anything. First, I must deny the very inside of me, the very depth of my being. I must learn to deny myself. Secondly, I must learn to do it on a daily basis. It's a curious thing, but if I omit to do this on a daily basis, suddenly I find I've accepted a little sin. I've accepted a little bit more of self. And suddenly I find that self is growing larger and larger, and the place for the Lord Jesus is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So I must learn daily to break my heart before God and to say, oh God, not my will, but thy will be done in my life today and forever. Every day I must learn to come before God the Father and say, Father, not my will, just thine, please. Then I must take up my cross. What is it that I am called of God to do? Where is it I am called of God to be? How is it that I am called of God to go? However I must go, wherever I must be, however I must travel that path, then I must take up my cross and follow Him. I must learn to crucify the lusts of the flesh and all that is in me. I must learn to crucify or to mortify, to reckon as dead those things that are foreign to God and natural to me. I must take these natural things of me and lay them down and let them be crucified so that I may be crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I may live. Yet not I, but Christ living in me. So I must put off the old man consciously, all those things that I used to do, all those things I used to be, all those thoughts I used to think, all those attitudes I used to have, all of those that are not of God are to be parceled and pushed daily, daily to one side, and I am to die to those things that are sinful and to open my heart, open my life, open my experience to Jesus Christ, and allow the Spirit of God to so fill me, to so take hold of me, that He can mold me into the sort of person He wants to be, me to be. Only to be what He wants me to be. Only to be as He would have me to be. Ladies and gentlemen, then comes harmony. Are you out of harmony with God? Oh, it's quite possible you're a sheep. It's quite possible you're a Christian. It's quite possible that you know the Lord Jesus on a fairly intimate basis. So quite possible that there is very little harmony between you and the Lord Jesus Christ today. The shepherd of Psalm 23 is the one that knows his sheep so tenderly and so well. He is the shepherd that understands his sheep so beautifully and so kindly. He is the shepherd that takes in the sheep. And he says, sheep, if you follow me in the ways that I have laid out, why, you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The picture in the 23rd Psalm is phenomenal. But I love the place where it says, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Oh, the anointing of God. Do you young men and women know that anointing of the Holy Spirit upon your life? You older people, do you understand what it means to be anointed by the power and the presence and the might and the person of the Holy Spirit? Hey, to be in harmony with the Lord Jesus, doing the work that He did as He did the work of His Father. I do always those things, said Jesus, that please the Father. I'm always pleasing Him. Do you always please the Lord Jesus? Now, there are three things. There isn't time to get into the other three. Later on today, there'll be another study and maybe we'll finish those other three. But I wanted to share with you very passionately these three at least in the time we have. Do you understand the privacy? Do you catch the intimacy? Do you get involved in the great harmony of being with the Lord Jesus? My dear friend, do it today. Do it now. Just quietly turn your life to one side. Forget what has been happening and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I desire that you're my shepherd. I desire that you'll be intimate with me, keeping me. I desire that I might be in harmony with thee. Not my will, but thy will be done. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for this time. It is so precious and so sweet to be with Jesus. And we ask that You'll just bless this word to our hearts and souls. O gracious God, allow thy Holy Spirit to come upon us, that thy Holy Spirit in mighty power may bring us to that place, Lord. I love thee. We ask this in thy name and for thy sake. Amen.